Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code, 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
So to understand that, you know, that you and I, okay, were created to live the love of God. You know, that there are things that God is trying to express of his love to people. Jesus, again, how do we sum up the law and the prophets? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, two very simple things. And so God, you know, he created us to live out this love. All right, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, okay, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is God, okay, the work of God, the Holy Spirit in us is what produces the love of God and also produces the gifts of the Spirit. And we're just on that cusp. We're going to just begin to turn the corner this week, all right, from this discussion of now concerning things spiritual, we don't want you to be ignorant, and then this understanding about the gifts of the Spirit. And if you've missed some of this stuff, go back, watch the 10-minute video summaries, and you can get those through our website, which is very easy to find. And so, but, you know, there's these gifts, all right? But then it always seemed like a commercial break to say, oh, by the way, let's talk about the love of God for a minute. Okay, let's get back to spiritual gifts. And it was like, no, this is actually, when we get to that, it really is the core of this message about these gifts, because we were given this to show the love of God, okay, the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's a little manifesto. Now, I was almost ready to say, well, maybe we've done enough of it. And then somebody said, hey, you know, I've been reading that. And I said, okay. So God has chosen us, okay? We rely totally on the Holy Spirit and what he gives. We are his. And immorality, you know, which is an evidence we aren't his, okay, has no place in us. We do whatever we need to live a pure and devoted life in every circumstance, no matter what others believe or profess or do. Yet for us. They say, what a wonderful little phrase. Yeah, okay, that's where you're at. Yeah, but for me, okay, we exist for him. We exist through him. We live our life to win more people for the gospel. We train to overcome temptation. You know, that thing where, you know, you get tripped up and you know, and you think, I'm not going to let that get me again. And you start to realize, you know, there's probably some things that I could do different. And so we train. We train ourselves that we don't just keep falling into the same temptation over and over again. All right? Okay, so we train to overcome temptation. And we do whatever brings glory to God. See, that's the goal. It's like, God, today, I want to bring glory to you. The way we live allows people to see the gospel in the best possible light. People getting saved is more important to us than anything else. Self-examination and personal spiritual house cleaning are for our benefit, because this is all about Jesus. This is all about Jesus, all right? And there's times when there's things about us sometimes can be a distraction from the message that God was intending to tell people. You know? I mean, all right, you know, maybe we got a little issue with patience. You know, we get a little impatient, and we kind of get a little grumbly, and all of a sudden it's like we realize, I'm probably not in a great position to tell this person about Jesus, am I? In fact, they know I'm a Christian. Uh-oh. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12:7, you know, I'm just going to skim through some things quick and then get right to where we're trying to get to. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Please set aside your 70s and 80s idea about what that means. Again, I'll say it one more time. All right, we are not trying to emerge the great ones. You know, what we're trying to see happen here is, I think, what God intended in the first place, which was each one of us, every one of us, the nobodies, you know, which I'm glad to be, you know, I am glad to be a nobody in many situations that you walk into where you realize nobody even knows who I am here. That's a cool place to minister from, all right? Because anything that happens, nobody's going to say, well, of course, you know, Don Bolt's here, you know? I mean, you know, it's like, I've never actually heard anybody say that, by the way. But, okay, so please understand that it's like, no, every one of us has been given this manifestation of the Spirit. What is that manifestation of the Spirit? It's the ability to be a demonstration of who Jesus is, you know, in every circumstance in life. You know, that there's just times where, you know, people need God with skin on, and that'd be you. You know, they need somebody that can establish for them that God is real, that God actually, these words that we hear about God loving and things that God actually loves, and how do I know that? Well, see, You know, isn't it a great moment when somebody of the faith blunders rather terribly and people start to criticize and somebody says, yeah, but wait a minute, I know this one Christian and they, you know, they're different from that, you know, and that's where we want to be. We want to be at the place where we are this contradiction, if you will, all right, to those things that would keep people from the faith. All right, you might be, in some situation, the thing that keeps that person from turning their heart away from God. You might be the person that God uses to turn their heart to Him. Because you've got this manifestation of the Spirit. And it comes in many different shapes and forms. All right? The result of members of the body of Christ not embracing and using their gifts is that some ministries are not evident in the body of Christ. All right? So in other words, people come, and there's something that they might have needed that they would expect that they would receive if they were in the presence of Jesus. But if all of us aren't embracing our gifts, some of those things probably aren't going to be manifested. People won't see them. Now, that can be a little problem or a big problem. All right? It can be a little problem if sometimes we fall short of that. I mean, that's going to happen. We all know that. But if we are persistent in not seeking God to know what it is that God has gifted me to do and doing it, then persistently people are not going to be seeing what they need to see of Christ in action in our midst. Okay? So, I only say this because there are some gifts that are like, yeah, that's cool. I'd like that one, you know. You know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Yeah, that's cool. Because that one's pretty safe. You know, I just speak stuff and sometimes God uses me. That's neat, you know. But then there's other ones like working miracles and you're going, whew, somebody else doing that one, you know. You know, so, you know, even healing sometimes can be very intimidating. All right? But we can't back off of those because they're intimidating. We can't back off and say, well, yeah, you know. No. I mean, you know, it's those are things that God desires to show. And there's more. All right? There's a difference between descriptive and prescriptive. Prescriptive says, this is how it is. Whereas descriptive merely says, this is what I saw. All right? Okay, so this particular, you know, passage in Scripture is describing. He's talking to them about their church and saying, see, now these are the things that are being manifested among you. And so he talks about them. You know, if there's something that hasn't been happening among them, he's not going to mention it because it wouldn't make any sense. I'm talking to them, right? So he wrote to the church at Corinth. Okay, this is not, I mean, we are all reading it because it is now in our hands as God's word to us. But it's descriptive. So it's not, see, if it was prescriptive, we'd say, this is it. Sorry, any other manifestations? Not here. Okay, because it would be prescriptive. You know, in a prescription, do you care if they put a few extra things in there? You know, I think you don't want that, right? Prescription means they wrote down what you're supposed to get, and you get only that, all right? So, but this is descriptive, all right? And so I want you to understand, there's potential that God might be designed to move in some place, and he might just decide to move however he wants to, and you might be the person that has that gift, that manifestation of the Spirit that's been given for the common good, you know? I mean, like, I know, like, you know, I'll pick on Sandy, okay? Sandy has, like, this ability with craft things, like, to make things that are just a blessing. I think, no, nope, sorry, it's not on the list, Sandy. All right, so now, if it was prescriptive, I could say, that's not from God. All right, but it's not, it's descriptive. It's merely trying to say, guys, this is what it's all about. All right? Now, that thing that you realize, you know, when I do that, we put in a nickel and get back a dollar. You know, there's something that's being added to that when I do this. More than likely, this is one of the areas, and not necessarily the only area, but one of the areas in which God is working. That's why it produces more than you put in. All right? Chemical equations, by the way, this is not probably something I was particularly good at in high school, but, you know, basically you start off with a certain amount and you end up with the same amount. It may be a different thing by the time you get there, but it's the same amount. All right? But there are times when, like, I will tell you something. I mean, when I teach, all right, I know that I put in X, and what comes out is X plus quite a bit, all right? Like, you know, somebody just mentioned this morning from the worship team, you know, about something that I've talked about where I basically emptied my pockets and started teaching from what was in my pockets. Well, you have to understand, I was totally unprepared. I had nothing. I walked into the room on a day that I was told in Ukrainian, nothing will be expected of you today. All right, and I walked into the room, and somebody turned, looked at me, and said, and this is Don Bolt, he'll bring teaching. Don Bolt? Okay? All right. And I, I looked out there like the deer in the headlights, you know, and I pulled out the contents of my pocket, dumped it on the table, separated it into a few piles, and started doing object lessons teaching about leadership. Now, wait a minute. It's not like that was resident in me in my flesh, all right? But, see, the Holy Spirit started empowering this teaching thing. Now, when I was a young Christian, I started hearing people talking about serving God. Not in the notes, folks, sorry. So I remember one night laying in my bed, and I said, God, I hear all this stuff about serving, but how can I serve you? I can't see you. You know, I said, I would like to serve you, but I can't see you. And and I said, what is it that you want me to do to serve you? And the Lord spoke one word to my heart and said, teach. To which I started laughing. Because I get nervous to stand up in front of a crowd, which is anything over five people. Okay, I'm thinking this is silly to think that. I mean, I must have misheard somehow here, you know. So, like about 2 weeks later, the pastor of the church that I was attending said comes up to me and says, "You know, you've been with us for a while. I'm wondering how you're going to serve." I'm thinking, okay, so this is, you know, I understand we're now talking about something I've been praying about. And I said, well, what are the opportunities? He said, well, we've got a ninth grade Sunday school class, and we've got a junior high youth group, and both of them need leaders. I knew I could not say no, because God had said he was going to have me teach. So I went back to God, and I said, I don't get it. I don't understand how this is going to work. And he said something to me that I didn't understand. He said, whenever you stand up to teach, it will be there. I didn't know what it was. All right? And So I just was obedient, you know. So I showed up, you know, somebody showed me what they were doing with them, and next week there it was. My training was 45 minutes, you know, and so I stepped into this position, and I stood up to teach, and the kids started asking questions, and all of a sudden, something that had never been there before, which is an ability to draw analogies, instantly, there's no effort involved. It was just analogies. I'm like, whoa. Guess that's it, huh? Anyway, so then I get to Bible school, and I'm taking a course in education, and Sister Rodriguez gets up and says, well, we're going to study the master teacher. Who is the master teacher? And everybody says, Jesus. I said, okay. And it says, and what was the method that Jesus used to teach? And we all sat there like, you know. And anyways, and she said, okay, write this down, the analogy. Jesus was a master of analogies. And I'm going, whoa. You know, because I'd never taken myself very seriously on this stuff, but I started realizing, wait a minute. So the Holy Spirit gave me the ability that was in Jesus to teach. Now, what I want you to understand is I did not say that to make myself a great one. Okay? There we go. See? And the analogies, and it happens, right? What I want you to understand is what I'm describing is how God's going to work in all of us. All right, so you have to understand that there's something in you, you know, and maybe there's nothing. Maybe there's nothing. Maybe it's just God's just going to have to give you something. I mean, he may call you to do something you're thinking, me? Are you kidding me? But when you step up into that place of obedience to serve him, it will be there. I don't know what it is. You know, it may be an artistic, you know, thing. It may be, this ability to organize and motivate service. I mean, I don't know. It's like there's so many different things that are out here, you know, but it, whatever it is, all right, it might be evidenced in some natural thing or it may not. But I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit of God, okay, desires to give it to you. All right, and to empower that this manifestation of Spirit has been given for the common good. And if we don't, it just means those ministries won't be evident. And that could be a big problem. That could be a big problem. There could be people that literally are suffering when they don't need to. There could be people that are missing the message when they don't need to. There could be all kinds of things. But the ministry of Jesus Christ is serious stuff. All right, he is trying to minister through us. So bow into God's will. You know, by the way, you'll need your gift for this. 1 Corinthians 12:18-24. But now God has placed members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Okay? Getting past that thing where you're thinking, nah, I'm sort of God's mistake here or something. No, he placed you in the body just as he desired. Okay? And it goes on to talk about if they're all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And again, the head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Right? We are not all going to understand each other's gifts. Right? And that's okay. We may not have an immediate natural appreciation for each other's gifts. That's okay. But we are instructed about what to do when we feel that difference. Those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. Okay? How does a body work together? You know, how do we act like a body? All right, because that's the next where I'm going to is act like a body. All of us need all of us. Remember Kowalski. What was this? Richard. Richard Kowalski. He was a young guy, lived across the street, and he'd always be out front working on his car. And I was definitely Mr. Curious, you know. What you doing? Working on the car. What are you doing to the car? You know, I just had too many questions. And his final, dismissal was, I'm trying to see how many parts I can take out and it still works. Okay. All right, now, why am I sharing this story? Because it means something, okay? How many parts of the body can we do without? None, all right? I would not choose to shut down any part of my inner workings, all right? They used to think the appendix was a vestigial organ, which means we used to need it, but we don't need it anymore. Oops, well, no, they're mistaken. No, we actually still do need that to collect safety pins and things, you know. It was, they find all kinds of junk in the appendix because it's basically the garbage disposal of the body, you know, that, you know, if you get something you're not supposed to, this one of the safety valves is that appendix. There are no vestigial organs. There's not one of you that's not needed. There's not one of you that's unnecessary. There's not one of you whose job is holding the pew down, all right? I mean, we all have a role. We all have something. And the body is better served if we can connect with that in a way before the Lord, not before me. I don't want to be the arm twister for him. But before the Lord, you just get with him and say, God, what Pastor Don was preaching this Sunday, does that apply to me? Is that real? You know, is he mistaken? You know, God, you know, can you just, I mean, is there something that I'm supposed to be aware of, something that you've placed in me, and I'm supposed to be using that at church, I'm supposed to be using it in life, I'm supposed to be being that person for the common good, that there's actually people that if I don't discover this and do it, there's actually people that are going to go without? That somehow the health of the body is somehow undermined by my lack of service? You know, and I don't, like I said, I don't want you to get the idea that I'm trying to get everybody to sign up on the lists. I'd like us to be free with that and do it, but that you have this place. Now, it may not be something real out there, obvious, everybody sees it. You know, if I'm walking through downtown, I don't do that as much as I used to, and I find coins on the floor, on the ground, floor, whatever, ground. Anyways, you know, I pick them up and I put them in parking meters. All right? And I think that is part of my ministry of compassion, you know, to those that are coming through, all right? You know, now, I mean, that takes a very different kind of role when it comes into, like, church ministry and that sort of thing, but it's just like, but no, it's just that there's this place that God has got something for me to do, and I'm going to do it, all right? And so what do we do with the people that have those kind of less evident, less presentable ministries? It says we bestow on them greater honor, all right? We look for that thing, and we say, you know, I don't think I've ever thanked such and such for doing thus and so. I think I'm going to do that. You know, I figured out that such and such, you know, really likes rutabagas, you know. And so, you know, rutabagas came into season. You know, I'm going to get him a rutabaga. You know, I mean, and you're not doing this based on fame and fortune. You're doing it just based on the fact that we're a body, and so we want to start watching out for each other and just kind of, you know. You know, it's like, I wonder what would happen if I took that little directory and decided to divide it up into, like, twelfths and decided to call people in that twelfth each month. What I wonder what would happen if I did that, you know? You'd be bestowing honor on the less presentable members, all right? What if I just said, you know, God, give me a word of encouragement, and this Sunday, I'm just going to speak that to as many people who listen to me this Sunday. You know, what would happen, you know? You know, you might encourage people that never get encouraged, all right? You know, that kind of you know, scattering your blessing kind of thing, because you never do know. You might be just hitting exactly the person. You know, I mean, even like when the will of God comes, you know, and I can't remember which one of the kings it was. It was definitely one of the kings of Judah, and he wasn't supposed to go into battle. He decided to go into battle anyways, and it says, and an archer shot an arrow at random, because God said, don't go into the battle, you'll die. And anyways, it says, an archer shot an arrow at random, and it hit him in a joint in his armor. You couldn't do that if you tried, all right? I want you to understand that, you know, that there are times when you might just feel like you're just scattering stuff. God might be putting you in just the right place to do exactly that thing that needs to be done. You know, all right? Don't wait until the skies open and the shaft of light comes down and it's like, yeah, this would be the moment, wouldn't it, you know? You know, and the music starts playing in the backdrop, you know, it's like, you know, no, don't wait for that moment. All right? It's that person in line in front of you at the store and looks a little disaffected and, you can just think, God, give me a word for them, you know? And it might be something real simple. It might not be something that sounds terribly spiritual, but, you know, but it's just to make them wonder. You know, you don't know what they prayed, you know? God, if you're there, you know, I need encouragement. And all of a sudden, blah, 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 out your mouth it comes. All right? So, all right, so act like a body. All of us need all of us, all right? So 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 26. All right? We're never going to get through this. All right, so... is that okay? Is it still okay? Is it all right if you take a little time with this stuff? Because, I mean, I don't know. We could hurry up and get to the next thing. I don't know. I think just do it right, okay? All right, so 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 26. God has composed the body, all right, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the bodies, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it, okay? God has composed the body. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. All right? Okay, so all that. He prepared the works ahead of time. He prepared you. He gave you a gift. He put you in there. You're his workmanship. If you're not sure you're a good enough one, you know, you ever go to an art sale and see someone's an original painting, go looking for the signature, see if it's somebody that you know? You know, just so you know, you, there's a signature on you, and it's somebody we know. It's Jesus, okay? All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now, you are Christ's bodies and individually members of it. So both the corporate and the individual is pointed to here, that this body of Jesus Christ in the world today to accomplish his purposes, to bring glory to his name, is you and me together operating as this body. All right, and every one of us has a role. Okay, this is all about Jesus Christ and the gospel message. God is love, and all this is about receiving a new life, a new identity that makes me a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, a living demonstration of the love of Jesus, an invitation to others to become followers of him together with us. God wants to empower us in ways that assure people that the love that they see in us is not from us, but from God himself. From God himself. God takes you that seriously, that his desire is that in your interactions with people, that people would walk away and wonder and say, I think I just experienced something from God. You know? And I've had people that were, you know, not believers, not interested in becoming a believer, a couple of half-hour conversations and they're interested in being a believer. Not because I'm so special, but because God was feeding something through me to them. He knew exactly what they needed to hear. I just needed to, you know, it's like a ventriloquist almost, you know, I just had to move the lips and God spoke the words, you know. I mean, it was just, I didn't even know what I was doing. You know, somebody said, man, you don't know what you said to that guy. He says, you're right. I have no idea. You know, I just, whatever God gave me, I gave it to him. So, there's this principle here, all right? And we're going to learn about seeking God's appointment by desiring a gift, a spiritual gift, all right? Not desiring the position, desiring the gift, all right? And new appointments from God come through new gifts, which are distributed by God. God is a distributor. He distributes those gifts and apportions them to us according to the gift of Christ that's in us. There's all these different scriptures that apply to this. But listen to this, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31. God has appointed in the church first apostles, then prophets, then third teachers, then miracles. I had somebody trying to make this like a hierarchy. I said, stop it. All right, okay. The first one who shows up is what? The apostle, right? Okay, second, the person who comes in behind him is the prophet. Then you bring in the teachers. He's just talking about the order with which he builds the church. That's all. Okay, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Okay, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, the mega gifts. That's actually the word there, mega. The mega gifts, all right? And I show you a still more excellent way. All right, now we're going to talk about love in a minute here, but we're not going to go there this week, okay? This issue of the integrity of the heart, okay? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He'll do it, all right? Matthew 6, 18 through 21. So that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. Now here, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt or destroy, and where thieves break through and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? To understand that which I prize, all right, my heart will be there. That's where my heart's going to be. The thing that leads me in life and shows me what direction to go and teaches me what to do, that heart of hearts that, you know, that God desires to fill with His power, okay, that, okay, all right, what it is that, you know, that it's a stored up treasure in heaven thereby, okay. Knowing that my Father sees what's done in secret will reward me openly. You know, that this thing of seeking God, saying, God, you know, okay, you know, you've been using me doing thus and so. You know, God, there's a gift that I got my eye on. There's this thing that I want to do for you, but I need to be empowered by you to do it. And so I'm asking you, Lord, to give me this gift so that I can bring honor and glory to you. And what it says is God then, when He's looking to fill a place that needs to be filled, something needs to be done, He looks for those people that are earnestly desiring those gifts, and he places them. Remember talking about how God, you know, places people, all right? And so if there's something that you want to do, desire the doing of it, all right? Not the position, not the title. You know, desire the doing of it. Desire to be used by God to do this and seek God for the gifts so you can do it. All right, earnestly desire these gifts, all right? And so then turning this corner, and with this I'm going to call the hymn team forward to start to prepare. All right, he says, I show you a still more excellent way. For all this that he's talked about, for all this stuff about the gifts of the Spirit, for all the wonderful things whereby I'm going to serve God, be the body of Christ, and bring glory to God, he says there is a still more excellent way. Still more excellent, all right? Something that goes way beyond just the gifts, all right? And that word greater, that word more greater, okay, there's still, earnestly says, but I'll show you, still more excellent, that more excellent, okay? It's interesting, it's the word from which we get hyperbole. Okay, which means, you know, like, you know, you're kind of like overspeaking, so to speak. He's saying that I'm actually given this. It is actually fits this. It means a throwing beyond. It means superiority, excellence, preeminence, beyond measure, preeminent, beyond measure. Okay, and see this, he's saying, what I'm about to tell you, you know, all this about spiritual gifts, God bless you, but I'm about to tell you about something even greater, even more powerful. Something that God values way above any of the rest. Amen? And that's where we're going next week, into the love of God and what this love of God is all about and what, how does it work together with this manifestation of the Spirit in a way that does not bring glory to me. It does not make me a great one. It informs people that He's the great one.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast, brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.